This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Well, hey there. Good morning, everybody. Glad to be with you on a Monday edition of Sports Daily. It is Albrock and Gester. Max Powers producing. We got all kinds of good stuff for you coming today. We will be giving away some Wichita Wind Surge tickets. We will be giving away some HTO. We will be taking your calls all at 869-1240. We'll be doing that throughout the next few hours here on the program. We have a lot of topics to get to today. You can leave us comments on those topics through Facebook, YouTube, X. You can do that through the Odyssey app with your little microphone. The little icon there, literally voice messages. Always appreciate those. And we appreciate everybody watching us on 12 News Connected. Happy Mother's Day weekend in the rearview mirror now. Tommy, how are you?
Hey, it was good. Did you, your wife have a good Mother's Day? Did you guys enjoy it? Did you pamper her, celebrate her all day?
Yeah, I think so. Look, we had kids soccer, and that's kind of what you do now. It was good, though. Like, yeah, you wake up, I made breakfast, and then we went to a soccer game. And then we, you know, just kind of went through the day. You try to, like, make sure she doesn't have to do any dishes or, you know, like the little stuff. She went over to Crestview and played tennis for a couple hours with her friend. Like, I don't know. Like, we don't. What did I do? Did I do a gift? Like, restrung her tennis racket as a gift. And she got a massage. I don't know. We don't do gifts. You know that now. We talk about this all the time. We're not like we've never been real good about that. So, yeah, it's kind of just like, what do you want to do today? And hopefully you don't have to like do any work or anything like that. How's yours?
Yeah, it was good. My wife has this Mother's Day tradition. She's done it the last few years, I think, mainly since we've had kids, where she just likes to leave. Like she's like, just let me go for a while.
Sounds an awful lot like a Father's Day tradition.
I know, right? Like that's what I would want to do for Father's Day. And I have done that before, but, we went to brunch, went to church, and then she was like, peace out. Like, we'll see you later. Have fun with the kids. And so it was just the kids and I, and, took care of them, got them dinner, put them down for bed. And then she didn't come home until like later in the evening, like long after they were put down. So she just kind of had, like the afternoon and evening to herself.
Yeah, that's cool. Moms deserve whatever it is that they want on that day. my own mother runs a flower shop, a floral business. So it's like a recovery day from one of the crazy holidays of the year for them. So it's always like growing up. And that was always the case growing up. Like we all just worked for her basically on Mother's Day, like whatever it was. So I'm glad that we celebrate moms the weekend, Mother's Day weekend, the old joke, Father's Day and Mother's Day weekend. Right. So hopefully all the moms felt all the love this weekend. We appreciate all of you very, very much. It's a good weekend in sports. Of course, the NBA and NHL playoffs continue. Max wasn't real thrilled with our hockey outcome last night. Both of our teams went down as we are watching the Stanley Cup playoffs. NBA playoffs continue to be, I think, kind of unpredictable, right? We had it wrong on Friday with the Thunder and Nuggets, but then the Thunder get it done last night. Now it's shrunk down to a three-game series, basically. And the Royals, Tommy, lose a series at home. And we'll get into all of this with the Royals when we come back. But they lose a series at home. Now they go and they flip around and they go on the road. And they score two runs without extra innings in three games. So there's a lot to dig into with them as they now begin a stretch on the road this week. They go down to Houston tonight. So we'll get into all of that. I mean, I know there was golf this weekend. It was a good sports weekend.
Yeah, you know, NBA playoffs obviously heating up for sure. I watched the end of the Thunder Nuggets game yesterday afternoon, and you know, Thunder, they needed that. They needed that on the road to even the series two games apiece. And they were able to get that. It was definitely a defensive battle, I think you could say, down the stretch for both of those teams. But you know, that was one that Oklahoma City had to have, and they got it.
They got it. And that becomes a three-game series. I mean, I think that's been Celtics-Knicks has been compelling, for sure. So I don't want to take anything away from that series. But man, this Thunder-Denver series to me, Tommy, has just been like, I don't know what's going to happen, like at all in this series. It's been very unpredictable, and that's good. I mean, that's been fun to watch. And you called it the winner there, maybe the favorite in the West. Maybe may very well be right. We'll see.
Well, Indiana, you know, after watching Indiana and what they did to Cleveland yesterday, I might be rethinking that a little bit. What was that, like a 47-point lead at halftime or something like that, something stupid like that?
In a game that Cleveland had to have, by the way.
Yeah.
Had to have it, and they didn't get it. So there's all of that going on. There's always NFL headlines. So we'll get to all of that today. We've got these giveaways to tell you about. Let's start you. We don't normally do this. Let's start you with the HTO because we have a lot of fun stuff to do and tell you about and give away today. So we'll do that one. It's T to the short code 20357, TEA to 20357 for your chance at a free iced tea right now. East Wichita, West Wichita, Derby. It'll work at any of those. Free cup of tea. Get in there, try them out. It's a very busy weekend as the weather turned warm this weekend. We appreciate everybody that supported us out there at HTO, but you can get a free one right now. That's T20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. We will be giving away some Wind Surge tickets today, and I believe every day this week. So stay tuned. We'll get you that opportunity to do that. And then we've got some music, Tommy, for tickets that we're going to be giving away. We got all kinds of stuff like. Our guy Zeb like woke up on Friday and he was like, you know what? I choose chaos. We're going to have 36 giveaways over the next 5 days.
That's great.
I love it. I love the fact that we can reward our listeners, viewers, watchers, whatevers to come in. And the good thing about the text contest is if you're listening to us, I talked to a listener about this a couple weekends ago and they're like, oh man, you know, we're always. I always catch you guys on the Odyssey app, but I'm never listening for any of those tickets. I'm like, yo, they're a text contest. You can still enter. Like, enter the contest, even if you're listening to us later in the day. So I love it. I love that we can reward. We love and appreciate so much that everybody hangs out with us here in the morning. So the chance to give away so much cool stuff is a great thing. And again, we'll have lots this week. I think it's two concerts, Wind Surge tickets, and some HTO. So that's all coming in the next couple few hours here. So stay tuned for your opportunities to win those. But yeah, good strong work from the promotions department right now.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, especially when you've got a good mix of, you know, obviously we always do HTO, so we have something consistent going on the program. But the Wind Surge, they're back in action, by the way, after 2 weeks on the road. They haven't been in town for a minute. And they had a pretty pretty exciting series, I guess, on the road. I know they had a couple of them, but one specifically against Northwest Arkansas. They ran into Jack Caglione and the monster that is Cags currently in Double A. So the Wind Surge return home now, and like you mentioned, we've got tickets to see them in action.
As the weather turns too, it's funny. Like I feel them on weather. You know, as an iced tea slinger myself. Like it's like, come on, good weather on the weekends, baby. It looks like we're gonna have great weather. We'll use a little more of that rain, but man, God, I mean, I don't know. Can you see the sunburn on top of my head?
Yeah, you got a little color this weekend.
It's we're at that time of year. You better get it on, because that was a beautiful, sunny, God, it was nice this weekend. Man, what a great weekend it was. All right, we'll come back and we'll talk a little Kansas City Royals. What are we thinking here on a Monday? I've got something that it reminds me of. I want to see if Tommy or any of you agree. We'll have that next. Don't go away. More Sports Daily coming up.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Let's do one of those giveaways we were talking about right now. This one will be a little old-fashioned here. This is a call-in contest. Let's call it the second caller on this one right now. We'll win a pair of tickets to the Gone Fishing Tour. This is Kingfish and Samantha Fish at the Cotillion. This will be Thursday, May 22nd. So it's coming up pretty quick, a week from this Thursday. You can win a pair of tickets, I believe. Yes, it is a pair of tickets by being our second caller to 869-1240 right now to win a couple of tickets to the Cotillion's Gone Fishing Tour. Kingfish and Samantha Fish. Again, that's a week from Thursday. Second caller, 869-1240. Good luck, everybody. Good luck. Braden messages us on Facebook, says, was at the Royals game with my mom, brother, and sister. Man, I hope that was for Mother's Day. That's awesome, Braden. Lawson, it was all a blast. It is a blast. It's a fun team. So Tommy got really annoyed with me last week when I kept bringing up the offense. So the offense was bad again this weekend. Two runs without extra innings, right? They got one in extra innings in the first game of the series. But if we're just looking at, you know, regulation, if you want to call it that in baseball, the offense continues to struggle. It was really interesting because you saw Quatrero doing all kinds of stuff, right? Vinny Pasquantino moved up and down the lineup. He hit better lower in the lineup than a combined 1-for-9 in his normal three-hole spot. So we'll see what happens with that. Here's the hardest part about it, Tommy. Like, individually, it's really hard to put your finger individually on like a single player. I mean, Vinny has been a problem, but he is starting to hit. But like, whatever it is, they cannot produce runs, and it's wild to watch it. Two runs in a three-game set against a very mediocre, right, very league average Boston pitching staff outside of Garrett Crochet. I'll give you a hall pass on that one. The rest of it, absolutely not. It's a team that is almost at the bottom of baseball in runs per game, is at the bottom in home runs, bottom third in on-base percentage, bottom third in slugging percentage, league average and app. So they're just not a good offense right now. And they've been such a good pitching staff, and they were a good pitching staff. They gave up 10 runs in the middle game, but in two of the three games, they were good pitching staff, and they can't support it. I'm telling you, man, like it's a major concern for me at this point. Like, I don't know if they're just all of a sudden going to start scoring a bunch of runs in the current state of things.
It's a concern, and I'll give you that. You know, I'll wrap myself into what you're saying a little bit here. It's a concern. I don't know if it's a major concern for me at this point because, you know, two of the games, they didn't get vintage starting pitching from Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo from their one and two guys in that rotation. Now, the game on Saturday, they were facing one of the best pitchers in baseball in Garrett Crochet. So I think you can kind of, you know, take that into consideration a little bit. But it wasn't like they got stellar outings from your top two guys in the rotation. Michael Lorenzen, on the other hand, on Friday pitched phenomenal in that opener. And I'm glad, I know it was a no decision for him, but I'm glad that the Royals didn't let that outing go to waste and they were able to get a win from it. I think here's the interesting thing. I get it. Like, I understand the Royals consistently are not producing a bunch of runs. You have an outlier here and there, like the finale against the White Sox, sure, and they put up 10 and things like that. But I understand that consistently they're not putting up a bunch of runs. They have, I mean, the recipe for success for this team is for their pitching to be elite. And on Friday night, their pitching was elite, and they were able to do enough in extra innings to get it done and get the win, and they didn't spoil the outing from Michael Lorenzen. This is not a team that is built to come from behind. Things got out of hand on Saturday in that game. Zerpa gave up a bunch of runs, you know, like that sort of thing. So the run differential in Saturday's game, a lot, I think it's different than what it actually was. But then yesterday's game, you know, Seth Lugo gives up a big home run, And my immediate thought was, all right, well, that's probably going to do it for the Royals in this game because
that's the problem.
They're not going to be able to come back from this. Yeah. And yeah, it's a problem. It's a concern. I mean, I'll give you that. But at the same time, that's never been the recipe for the Royals to win ball games. The recipe has been for them to get out to a lead early and let their pitching staff go to work. And that's not what happened on either Saturday or Sunday for the Royals.
I think it's too much to ask, though, to have the, I mean, it's not even that the pitching has to be really good. I mean, they almost have to be perfect. And I just feel like
it's your top two guys in the rotation. Like you would look at it on paper and be like, yeah, between Reagans and Lugo, they'll probably at bare minimum split the last two games of this series because you've got your two aces in the rotation.
Right.
And neither one of them pitched up to the level or the standards that I think we would expect from them.
Well, they lost 3-1. Lugo still gave you a quality start. Like it feels like they can't score more than three runs unless they get a big inning somewhere. And that to me is the problem. Like there are way too many times this year they score three or fewer. I mean, that's not just like not good offense. That is objectively bad offense. And here's what it reminds me of. This popped into my head, and it's where I think it's about where I am with the offense now. Now, again, it's not apples to apples because the Royals can do a million different things to help their offense between now and the end of this season. It's May 12th and it's baseball, a sport in which a lot of trades happen. It reminds me of the Chiefs last year. The Chiefs who were winning all these games, right? Their defense was great. They had all the intangible stuff. They made it through the season with the one loss. They did all of this stuff. Yet we had this cloud hanging over it, and we did. Like it was like, are they going to be good enough on the offensive line when push comes to shove to get this done? Like it was this major question that even though they were winning all these games and finding ways and doing these things, it was like, man, that feels like that's going to come back to bite them. Right now, it feels like this offense is going to come back to bite them. Again, they'll do something to correct it. They will. It's not going to stay like this. It's when can they? And how far are they willing to go? I think that is the most interesting thing to me. But like three or fewer runs almost every time out, that's too much to put on the pitching staff, which is outstanding. I don't know if it's maybe they try to be just hyper, hyper aggressive on the base paths. That's what the 2014 and 15 offenses, which were power deficient, did, right? They put so much pressure on the opposing defenses and you know, there's never been more base running than there is in baseball. And they're trying, right? Q's trying to move Vinny down in the lineup one game. Like, they get it. Obviously, it's hanging over the team. They understand that they're not scoring anything. Thank goodness their pitching staff has bailed them out from that. But I just remember back to that bad stretch when they were playing good teams, and even their pitching couldn't bail them out of that. That's when it got really bad. And I don't want is this schedule turns over, and is about to, in June, really turn over, to see this offense continually score three or fewer runs. Their pitching staff, as great as it is, and I think it's top to bottom the best in the American League, it's not going to hold up against a bunch of good teams. Not like that. Not where you come out every day and you say, all right, pitching staff, you got to keep them under three today. Every day. That's what we got to do. That's too much. I don't think any team can do that. And so now it just, you know, what can they do? Like, it's not, I'm not saying it's panic time. I'm not saying this team's not going to go to the World Series like I thought they could. I'm not saying any of that. Just saying it's a major thing that they've got to figure out early in the season so that it's not a problem when it matters late in the season.
I think that there are other things that, you know, they can compensate, I think, for a lack of offense. And you mentioned one of them, and that is being aggressive and effective for that, you know, matter on the base paths. They've got to be able to find ways to, you know, move up 90 feet because you can't rely on the actual hitting to come through for them to move runners over to get into scoring position. Like, you've got to try to do other things, and that could very well be finding better opportunities to steal bases. That could be sacrifices. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that you can put that into practice. I do think that you've got to get creative, and I think that from what Matt Quatrero has done with the lineup, I mean, he knows. I think he clearly recognizes what he's working with in his lineup right now. And I think my big concern all along has been you start looking outside of the current lineup. And while that may not be the worst thing in the world, I'm afraid that that becomes a Band-Aid. Like, okay, if we need to go acquire somebody right away and get hyper aggressive and give up the farm to go get a guy to put him in the lineup to hopefully try to help. And then that guy's got a lot of pressure and expectations on his shoulders to be the main catalyst to turn things around. I worry that that's not a long-term viable solution and more of just a Band-Aid. That's kind of the same way I felt about Jack Caglione. I think Cags is fantastic, but I also feel like rushing him may ultimately end up doing more harm for him and his long-term development than the benefits of having him in the lineup right away. So, I mean, I want to make sure that, like, and I think Mac Quattrero and I know JJ Piccolo is thinking along these lines. Whatever we do, we need to be organic in the way that we improve things. And maybe it's in the way that they prepare. I don't know what's happening with their hitting coach. I don't know the way that they put this team together as far as, you know, hey, let's get ready for these games to try to turn the offense around. But I do think you've got to try to make it up again with great and elite pitching, which they've done. I think you've got to try to make it up with stellar play in the field. I think you've got to try to make it up with effective base running. Those three things you can compensate a little bit for, and it's more organic than all of a sudden by default being like, we need to look outside of this current team. We got to go get somebody else. We got to call somebody up. We got to go make a trade. We got to give away the farm to try to put a Band-Aid in place that may or may not even be the fix.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think they need to overreact. The only external pressure on reacting quickly is how good the division is around them. That would be the only thing. But I agree with that. You've still got to make the right move. And I do think that the best short-term solution for me is to throw the lineup card in the trash can outside of Jonathan India leading off and Bobby Witt Jr. hitting second. I think everything else goes in the trash. And Q needs to go back to his Tampa days where you never knew what the lineup was going to look like, right? From day to day. I don't like that. Traditionally, I'm more of a traditionalist. I like guys to hit in the same. I like that. But that's not working right now. So right now, I would move Vinny Pasquantino down in the lineup. Down in the lineup. Get down there and figure it out. We cannot continue to have you up in big spots and fail. Can't do it. So I would hit Michael Garcia or Drew Waters third. I'd hit the other one fifth. And that's what I would do in the short term. And I'd do it all week. I don't care how much Vinny starts hitting. Leave him down there for a little while. That's what I would do. Whichever guys are hitting well, move them up. Because Bobby Witt Jr. is always hitting. He's always a star. Jonathan India, I think, is back to consistent. Like, he's doing exactly what they wanted him to do. Just take advantage of those two guys as best you can, right? Like, that's, I think in the short, and we saw some of it. Again, Vinny moved down in the middle game of that series, and he actually hit well down there. Great. Put him down there for a little while, because the alternative is trade him. And, like, I don't think anybody wants that to be what happens, right? Whatever it all looks like, but you cannot have that spot in your lineup come up short that often as much as it has this year. So get him down in the lineup. Move, like, there are a lot of players on. That's the other really confusing part about it. Individually, there are a lot of really big producers in this offense, but it's collectively not leading to any runs. I mean, their run production is wildly bad this year, especially when you consider some of the players in this lineup. It's pretty crazy. But they just, man, they can't do it. And they got to do something else.
Well, there's literally no reason in my mind at all for Hunter Renfro to continue on this team. I don't know why. I mean, I understand that you've got a lack of depth, you know, in the outfield. And so you have to throw somebody out there. But, I mean, his stats alone tell you that he's dragging the team down offensively.
He didn't,
I think,
play in two of the three games, by the way.
He's, well, not playing right much. Right, but I mean, you know, he definitely has been a factor throughout this entire time of just the overall team offense being drugged down. I think one thing, and this goes back to what I was talking about before, as far as the Royals being unwilling to put a Band-Aid in place to try to fix this offensive situation. You know, there's a guy that you're pretty familiar with because you're a Rangers fan. Leody Taveras hit the waiver wire over the weekend, and that would have been somebody that would have been a low risk claim off the waiver wire. They didn't claim him. You know, he went to somebody in the division. He went to the Seattle Mariners, and he's shown an impact just in the couple of games that he's played with Seattle so far. But I think that, and I'm not saying that was the right move. I'm not saying the Royals should have claimed him. I'm saying if the Royals were in the mindset of, we need something completely different, we need to go outside of the current guys we already have, that would have been a move as a low-risk, fairly cheap option. I mean, because Tavares, a couple of years ago, you know better than I do, he had a pretty productive season for the Rangers. I know he's a couple of years removed from that, and who knows if he had been able to produce at all, for Kansas City. There's a reason why the Rangers put him on waivers. But had they been thinking in the Band-Aid point of view, we just need somebody else to come in, that would have been a guy that they absolutely could have claimed. And he, you know, maybe he would have produced and maybe not, but they're clearly not thinking in that regard. They're clearly not thinking a short-term fix. It's more about, we've got to get the guys on our current lineup to start producing, maybe by lineup changes, you know, moving guys like Pasquantino down in the lineup, different things like that, to try to fix what ails them as opposed to going outside.
Yeah, it's he's an interesting player. I'd rather have him than Hunter Renfroe. He's got,
and again,
upside.
I'm not advocating that they should have claimed him.
No,
I'm just saying that shows me the mindset of the Royals.
I think you can try to get Canna in every day. He's been okay, right? I think that could help. I'm most advocating. Renfroe only played in one of the games. He was 2-for-4. I'm most advocating for Vinny to move down right now and just get it figured out, further down in the lineup. I'm most advocating to put Mikel Garcia probably in the 3-hole. I'd be okay in the 5-hole with Waters in the 3-hole, but I think I'd rather have Garcia 3, Waters 5. But what my biggest advocation on this day is to cram all the guys that are hitting together and just see if just those guys can get you a cup. You know, can we get to 4 a game, which is still not a great offense, but can we just get to 4 a game? That should be enough for your pitching. 1 a game, 0 a game, 2, like, that's not enough. And so you got to do something. And they're trying. This is not a negative commentary in any way on anything that the Royals are doing. It's just they're trying. It's just, I don't know that it's there in the current state. And that's the question that's going to become really important. That's what, by the way, reminds me of the Chiefs last year. Like, it's not that they're not playing well. It's not that you don't believe in it. It's that there's this thing that sits there where you're like, yeah, you know, I don't know if it's, I don't, that's good. That sure seems like that's going to be a problem. And of course it took until the Super Bowl for it to actually be a problem, like a big, big problem. But it was.
The wild thing, by the way, about Hunter Renfroe is just take a look at his wins above replacement. I mean, it's like, there's nobody hardly that is worse than him in Major League Baseball. He's at a -1.6 in wins above Hunter Renfroe in his wins above replacement. Like, he's effectively helping the Royals lose more than he is helping them win. And so I understand why you've seen his playing time pretty severely diminish over the last couple of weeks. And if you contrast that with a guy like Mikel Garcia, his WAR is 1.4. They cancel each other out. So when you've got both of them in the lineup, it's a wash. You can't have that with a guy like Mikel Garcia, who is producing in the way that he is.
Derek Carr, Tommy, retires over the weekend. Derek Carr's a really interesting player. Always has been to me. He retires from the Saints. He has had some really good years over his career. He's had some bad years. I think for the most part, he was a good player in this league. He's kind of in that middle ground, right? That purgatory, that is he great? Is he not great? But I mean, he had a career passer rating of 93 almost. He had 3 years over, well, I guess 2 years over 100. What do you think his legacy is?
I think he'll go down as an average NFL quarterback, an okay NFL quarterback. Remember, throughout the course of his entire career, whether we're talking about his time with the Raiders or time with the Saints, which I know was cut short, he never made it to a Super Bowl, number one. He also never made it to a conference championship. So that's 11 years where, you know, he was never able to have really any kind of postseason success with the teams that he played with. Now, one thing that is a caveat to that is that his tenure with the Raiders, especially towards the end, there was so much turnover. Like, they could never get the head coach right. They could never get the supporting cast right around him. He was kind of the mainstay on that roster for a long time as they kind of cycled through head coaches and cycled through different kinds of weapons for him and things like that. The front office could never really get it right with the people around him. But as far as just his overall playmaking ability, I think he's okay. I don't think he's anything incredible. He's not a Hall of Famer. His, you know, win-loss record, you know, overall in his career, he's under 500. You know, so I think he's okay. He was never able to get them, any team he played with, to postseason success.
I think that's fair. I think he's above average. I think he played on too many bad teams that it wouldn't have mattered how good he was. And I think he underperformed in years where they had teams good enough not to win Super Bowls. I mean, he's the perfect example of this concept in the NFL of like the haves and have nots, right? There are so many players that are good players in this league, but you know, they're just like, they're not going to win a Super Bowl. And it's crazy. Like, he's one of those guys. I mean, he had a career touchdown interception rate, and that's including the lean years when he got older and was kind of banged up, of 25 touchdowns to 10. I mean, like, he threw for 4,000 yards, I think, like 4 or 5 straight years. Like, he was a good quarterback.
I think he was fine. I mean, yeah. I think that's okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't
there
think
are
that
so many of those guys where you're like, yeah, they're good, but man, they're never going to win a Super Bowl.
The most important thing that he did in his tenure with the Raiders is that he gave them stability at the quarterback position that they hadn't had in years. Like, you have to probably go all the way back to what Rich Gannon, probably the last time the Raiders had any kind of stable, effective quarterback that you knew year in and year out was going to be there and was going to produce for you. It had been a long time. They had so many swings and misses at quarterback, including, by the way, Jamarcus Russell, who was one of the biggest draft busts in NFL history at that position. And so the fact that they were able to bring him in, you know, Derek Carr in, and get that quarterback position right for a long time, had he had a better supporting cast around him, had he had stability at quarterback, I don't know if he would have been a Super Bowl winning quarterback, but I certainly think that they would have had a lot more success.
Let's try to, like, you almost have to try to do some exercise, right? Like, what if Derek Carr was dropped into the Rams offense that won a Super Bowl? What if Derek Carr was dropped into the Eagles offense last year? Because I think Patrick Mahomes is in a different stratosphere than these guys, but like other really good quarterbacks. Now, Stafford's
are we talking
a borderline
Derek Carr in his prime or Derek Carr?
Yeah.
Okay.
Peak Derek Carr.
Yeah, okay.
Peak Derek Carr. Like, would it have been enough? I think that's always interesting because I think it tells us something about the quarterbacks we're talking about, right? I think Matt Stafford's a Hall of Famer. I don't think Jalen Hurts is yet. Think he could be. I think what he does now, we'll see without a tush push if that ever gets taken away, how much that impacts him. I think it will impact him a whole lot, by the way. What would Derek Carr? And I think it's at least worth a conversation to say, yeah, maybe. Like, maybe he could have. He never got the opportunity to play in offenses like that. So it's hard to say, but I think he did enough. Like, think about, some of the years like Ben Roethlisberger put together or Eli Manning. Is Derek Carr that much better or worse than Eli Manning was? I mean, really?
Eli Manning's a Super Bowl champion, you know, so that puts you over the top compared to Derek Carr.
I'm talking about the player, not the player on the team, just the player himself, right? Just the player. How much better was Eli Manning than Derek Carr?
I don't know. I think Eli Manning was a better quarterback than Derek Carr. You know, maybe not like head and shoulders better, but I think he was better than Derek Carr. And I think that he, during his tenure, you know, especially like peak, like if you're talking peak Eli Manning, heads up against peak Derek Carr, I'll take peak Eli Manning.
So how about this? Eli Manning threw fewer touchdowns basically per season. Let me see about interceptions, because I'll bet it was more. It was. So he threw fewer touchdowns per season, more interceptions per season, fewer yards per season, and had a career quarterback rating significantly lower than Derek Carr. Like, Eli Manning's career quarterback rating is 84.1, Tommy. That would be, if we went back and looked like last year at where 84.1 would get you, it would be near the bottom of the league, I would guess. I don't have that one in front of me. But that's what I'm saying. Like, Eli Manning was the ultimate beneficiary. He had Tom Coughlin. He had some amazing coaching, amazing defense. Spags was his defensive coordinator for a while and was the reason they won some Super Bowls. That's what I'm saying. Like,
So Derek Carr, by the way, played in one playoff game in his career. Yeah. 0-1 in that playoff game in 11 seasons. 0-1.
Do you think if their roles were reversed?
Derek Carr. No, I let you throw a bunch of stats out. Derek Carr, in his 11-year career in the regular season, 15 games under 500. Now, that's, I know, wins and losses. There are so many other things that go into it. I think it's Trey Wingo that has always said a win-loss record is not a quarterback stat. Obviously, he was the catalyst. I mean, he's the starting quarterback for a long time. And look, I think here's the thing that is happening right now is that I've not been negative about Derek Carr at all this conversation whatsoever. I think you're trying to bait me into being negative about Derek Carr.
I thought you're a Derek Carr guy. I thought you were a Carr fan.
I think Derek Carr's fine. I think he is. Yeah. I think he was a fine, okay, good, whatever superlative you want to throw out there, quarterback. And there were a lot of other factors that came into play with Derek Carr than just, you know, the win-loss record and all of that. He didn't have stability at head coach. He didn't have weapons around him. He had a dysfunctional front office. The team was in the middle of a move for the, you know, several years, you know, towards his peak, where there was all this drama about whether or not they were going to move away from Oakland and ultimately go to Vegas. There were a lot of distractions. He's got one of, you know, the more high-profile owners in the league where a lot of things happen. Oh, by the way, John Gruden was his coach for a couple of years before he was forced out of the NFL due to a bunch of scandals, and Derek Carr had to stand up and talk about it at the podium as kind of the leader of the team. There are a lot of other non-football things that were going on. I think that Derek Carr, in my mind, represents kind of the middle class of quarterbacks where, you know, he's not elite. He's not a guy that is going to be super flashy. He's not a guy that is going to do things that's going to make you go wow and that are going to show up on highlight reels left and right. He got the job done. But he was also 15 games under 500 in the regular season over the course of his career, played in one playoff game in 11 years and lost that playoff game, never made it to a conference championship, never made it to a Super Bowl. So he is who he is. He's fine. It's okay. He's not a Hall of Famer. He walks away with really no postseason success whatsoever. And unfortunately, I think that's going to probably be how he's remembered overall. But his overall skills, yeah, he's fine. I think he was a fine and okay quarterback.
Yeah, I agree with all that, by the way. I this wasn't a challenge to your thoughts on Derek Carr. It's a challenge to
you were challenging me on Eli Manning a little bit there. I honestly couldn't care less. I didn't know
what you thought about Eli Manning.
Yeah, I mean, Eli Manning is a Super Bowl champion.
But Eli Manning, like, Here's what my whole point with Carr is. Like, would you believe it? I think Matt Stafford's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Can we make that assumption? If Matt Stafford's in, I'm going to give you four other Hall of Fame, if you include Stafford, quarterbacks. And these are guys that pop into my head as, like, not like the Mahomes, Brady, where it's like next level, right? Derek Carr has a higher passing rating by significantly over Eli Manning, higher than Matt Stafford, right? It's almost the same as Ben Roethlisberger, and he's slightly under Phillip Rivers. So I think for me, it's about, like, when I think about Derek Carr, it's like, what if Derek Carr played for the Giants in those years? Would they have been more or less successful? Would he have been more or less successful? And what if Eli Manning played for the Raiders? And those Raiders teams, I'll bet you Eli Manning wouldn't have any Super Bowls, right? What if Ben Roethlisberger's not playing for the Steelers in that organization? He's a little different. Cool. I actually put him a class above. But they are. But what I mean,
I can't,
is, like,
tell
in the
you,
NFL,
by the way,
like, those margins are so razor thin, and it's so luck of the draw on where some of these quarterbacks land.
Like, this is the most, like, sports talky topic. Like, I hate these exercises. Like,
really?
Would you compare Derek Carr and his eighth year versus Eli Manning in his third year versus Ben Roethlisberger in this, or like who knows? Like, I think that's so like baity into a conversation, and I hate it because like, can we just appreciate like, yeah, Derek Carr was an okay quarterback. Full stop, leave it at that, we're done. Like, it's fine to walk away from that.
I think that's kind of boring. And was Matt Stafford, Derek Carr was a Hall of...
Derek Carr was a boring quarterback. It's okay. What you're trying to do here is you're trying to turn a boring topic, an average middle-of-the-road quarterback retiring after 11 years, into a non-boring topic, and this is a boring topic. Like, this is a dud of a topic, and it's okay that it is.
I don't think it's boring to wonder about a guy's landing spot. Matt Stafford wouldn't have sniffed the Hall of Fame. He was in Lions purgatory, right? Same quarterback. Gets to the Rams, gets in a better system, better coach, all these things, wins a Super Bowl. Now he's going to be
like, you can wonder about that stuff all day long. I don't think about it. I don't think like, okay, do I put Derek Carr eighth, like, is he above Eli Manning and behind Philip? Like, I don't think about that sort of thing. I don't really care. Like, he was there. He was in the NFL for 11 years. He had decent to good skills. He had good overall passing rating numbers, individual statistics. He didn't win a bunch. There were a lot of other factors behind it. He walks away and you just appreciate him for what he is. But I think this exercise of like trying to compare and contrast him with other quarterbacks and where he, like, is he ninth? Is he 10th? Who cares? At the end of the day, who cares? Like,
I just want to know where, like, what kind of, like, where does he stand among quarterbacks? I think we do that in every sport with every player.
We do that with the guys at the very top. I couldn't care less in ranking where Derek Carr stands. Like, cool. He played for 11 years in the league. Thanks for your service. We move on. Like, he was fine. But I think it's a boring topic to talk about where he ranks all time. Who cares?
Okay, well, we'll stop talking about it then. We'll come back with more Sports Daily, another hour. Stick around.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Let's start this hour with another giveaway, Static X. You remember Static X? They're coming to the Cotillion. This one, May 26th. And you can get a pair of tickets here. All you got to do to win this one, this is not a caller contest. This is a text contest. So if you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, you have a chance at this if you're listening later in the day. Text the letter X to the short code 20357. That's X to 20357. Good luck. Good luck. Appreciate it. We got a comment from Cracked Glass on YouTube. Not sure what that means. Hope that's not anything inappropriate that I just rolled out there. Not boring topic at all. Somebody needs their coffee this morning. No other position judged to this degree by Super Bowl rings. Tony Gonzalez blood by the Chiefs. We were awful in the playoffs. Tommy, you got mad at me for talking about the Royals offense last week. And that one, I felt like I caught a stray for something on the Derek Carr news. What should we talk about? The truest championship, Tommy?
No.
Sepp Straka?
No. No, look, I think the only reason why I get a little bit frustrated is I feel like you're wanting to try to like bait me into this debate about Derek Carr not being.
No.
Because like you're throwing all these stats at me about comparing him to these other quarterbacks, and I'm like, he's fine.
Derek Carr's fine. You were a Derek Carr guy.
I don't think that you and I have a debate whatsoever about this. Like, cool. Like he was a good quarterback. He made up for a limited skill set. I don't think he was like this overwhelmingly impressive athlete. I think he was fine. I think he made the best of the bad teams that he was on a lot. And in a lot of cases, like I think the win-loss record, which I know that's not a you know, simply quarterback stat right there. I think Derek Carr hadn't have performed in the way that he did, I think that win-loss record would be even worse than 15 games under 500 in the regular season. I think that he did basically everything he could possibly do single-handedly to try to help those Raiders teams win more than what they would have without him. So I'm not going to debate you at all about where Derek Carr ranks overall in the pantheon of historical quarterbacks. Like, you can put him wherever you want, and that's fine. I'm not going to argue with you. Like, he was fine. I don't think he was a bad quarterback at all.
I'm not trying to debate. I don't have a strong take on where. I'm not trying to debate it at all. I think we think the exact same thing about Derek Carr. That was never my intent. My thought, my whole reason to even bring that stuff up is just sometimes how fortunate guys are to land where they land. And he was very unfortunate where he landed. And we see those quarterbacks a lot. Like, we see them. And then it, like, for me, what it makes me wonder is, like, because there's so many of these guys in the league right now. Baker Mayfield, early Baker. Like, what if Baker Mayfield landed where some quarterbacks who aren't as good are in the perfect spots, right? And it's able to propel them to Super Bowls. And there's so many of these guys in the league. And, you know, if you're a Chiefs fan, if you're a Bills fan, if you're a Ravens fan, like, you just sit there and think, God, we're so dang lucky, right? Like, that we got these. You don't have to wonder about this stuff. And sometimes these quarterbacks, and Carr, I'll say this about Carr, because I think we do think the exact same thing about him as a player. World-class individual. I mean, I don't know that there's ever been a more thoughtful, like, in a positive way, quarterback at the podium in some really gnarly bad situations, right? In the way he handles it. He was pretty unclutch. We talked about Eli Manning. Like, Eli Manning was clutch. He was a lot of things. He threw way too many interceptions. I think he was severely overrated. He was pretty clutch. Like, he made some big plays when he needed to make some big plays. Carr didn't do that, and that hurt him. And his best years were there with Gruden, I think, and Gruden was a good coach, and I think that was reflective. But, man, it does. It takes all of this stuff, and he's, to me, it's more of a, like, you had this guy who's pretty good, and you could never do anything with him, and there's all these reasons that doesn't work. When you think about the teams that get on these heaters, like the Chiefs are on, and even when it's not Super Bowls, but like the Bills are on, like, you kind of have to have it all line up to get there, right? Look at the Cowboys. The Cowboys have had a bunch of really good players, and I don't think they've had the coach, or they've had a good coach and they haven't had the good players. Like, it, the NFL's wild like that. Like, that's why I brought some of those other quarterbacks up. It's like Stafford's now a Hall of Fame quarterback. Man, he was stuck with the Lions. They couldn't win crap. But it's the same player, and he's putting up great numbers, and then it's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's right. He is pretty good.
Yeah, and, you know, with Carr's legacy overall long-term, and I'm taking some of this from a column that was written in the Las Vegas newspaper over the weekend after Carr announced his retirement, so I'm not coming up with this myself. I think that there are some good notes on this, like the question about the Hall of Fame. Pro Football Reference has a Hall of Fame monitor. The average quarterback in the Hall of Fame, the score, and I don't know what it all goes into it, but the average quarterback Hall of Famer, their score is just over 100. Derek Carr's score is a 46. Again, I'm not sure what all goes into that, you know, but it's far below the threshold of what all the quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame have scored on, at least on that monitor, as they're tracking Hall of Famers. So that's one thing for sure. The other thing that I find wild, and I think this sums up the career of Derek Carr as a whole, that just, like, it's mind boggling to me that they could never really get, the Raiders could never really get him the support and the talent around him. He's the only quarterback as of right now in NFL history to throw for at least 40,000 yards in his career and never win a playoff game.
That's crazy.
Ever, like, the only quarterback to throw for 40,000 yards and never win a playoff game. So I do recognize, I do understand why it makes this conversation more complicated and more difficult about where you put his legacy and where he finishes his career. I think some of it too is the fact that, you know, we cover the Chiefs, we follow them pretty closely. And for a number of years, we saw Derek Carr a lot. We saw him twice as much as teams not in the division saw him. And so, you know, you get up kind of close and personal to him a little bit, you watch the way, and there were so many times that I remember watching Chiefs and Raiders games and thinking, man, if only Derek Carr had a little bit of talent around him, or if he had some stability, if he had a competent head coach, if he had a competent front office, if he had other people around him, would they have been a champion? Probably not. I think the limitations for Derek Carr, the ceiling is certainly prior to winning a championship, but I certainly think that they would have been a whole lot better had he had a little bit more stability and talent around him.
And he lost plenty of games too. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I we agree. Like, we're in total alignment with Derek Carr. I think I just like the guy as much as anything. It's just the that position. I know I say this, like, in all of sports, to me, is just it's the most fascinating position for, like, what leads to success? How does it all line up? Like, who's more or less talented than the other? Who's in the perfect fit? Who's a better? Like, there's so many of them.
Yeah, I hate that exercise so much because it's next to impossible to be able to try to do that.
You can't, but, like, you can point most of the time, like, in baseball, right? You can point to the traits that are going to make a good pitcher a lot, right? Like, you can point to a lot of that stuff. Basketball is probably a little bit more difficult, but there are a lot of that, right? Like, if you're this caliber of shooter, or if you're I think it's the hardest to do, and it's not with all positions in football. It's just that one.
I think the only reason that I was a little bit cranky in our last segment is because if we're talking about, if the debate is Brady versus Mahomes as the GOAT, like, let's have that conversation all day long. And those are the things that happen, you know, at the very, very top of the mountain to try to assess and evaluate a guy that's not going to make the Hall of Fame, that never won a playoff game, that is 15 games under 500 in his career in the regular season, only had three winning seasons over his entire 11-year career. And we're talking about where he ranks, like, lower down the totem pole. I'm sorry. I just don't have the energy to have that kind of conversation because ultimately it's inconsequential. It doesn't matter.
And now the Saints can begin their quest for Arch Manning in, like, a full circle, because they're they got nothing. Why don't they trade for Kirk Cousins? Like, what the hell are the Saints going to do?
Well, they don't have anything. They did use the second round draft pick on a quarterback this year.
Who'd they draft? Show?
Yeah, the guy from Louisville.
I don't think he's very good.
They used a second rounder on him, and they've got a couple.
They've got
Spencer Rattler.
What's Aaron Rodgers doing? Like, if he really wants the attention, he should say, ooh, I might go play for New Orleans.
Oh, man,
like,
can you imagine? That's a conversation that I'll have. I couldn't care less about Derek Carr's legacy.
But I want to talk about what
Aaron Rodgers is going to do. That's what I would rather talk about.
Yeah, I love any quarterback conversation because I think they're fascinating. I don't know what the Saints are going to do. They're going to be bad. It's the Arch Manning Bowl, I guess. I mean, he's not the unquestioned number one, but there's, like, a conversation around, like, who should be the number one pick? Who should be the number one quarterback? And you're the Saints and Arch Manning's there. Do you even have a choice?
No, you have to take
at that
him.
Point?
You have to take
you,
him at that
have
point.
To, right? And I never subscribed to that. Like, you take them. No, they would have to take Arch Manning. Like, they would not be able to not do it. Like, you couldn't not do it. That's what we'll be watching with the Saints this year, because they're going to be pretty bad, I think. Who's their coach? I don't even know who their coach is now. Who's their coach?
Kellen Moore? Your buddy, Kellen Moore? Favorite coach of all time, Kellen Moore? How do you forget that?
I don't hate Kellen Moore as much as I probably sound like I don't like Kellen Moore. I actually like Kellen Moore. I didn't like him with the Cowboys, but I think he's pretty good. I don't know how good a head coach he'll be. We'll find out. All right, we'll come back. More Sports Daily. We return.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Sports Daily. I want to tell you about the summer concert series presented by Odyssey. How about that? This is a really cool thing that's been going on for a while. I don't know if everybody here has been out to the great facility there at the Capitol Federal Amphitheater in Andover, but sort of the first leg of this will be out there, and then there's some at Nafsker Park in Wichita too. But it's the summer concert series presented by Odyssey now this year, and it'll be a lot of fun. So on June 20th is the first one, so a little more than a month away. It's across the pond, and then on the 27th it's King Midas, Jet City on July 11th, Big Fat Fun on July 18th. The cool thing to me about this, and I don't want to speak for anybody else, is it's free. Free live music every Friday night from 8 to 10 at a great venue, like a great place to just kind of kick back and chill and hang with the family and listen to some music. I think that's such a cool thing. And I think that venue is underrated, quite honestly. It's very, very cool the way you have it set up with the park all around it and stuff. So that's the summer concert series presented by Odyssey this year. And it gets going in about a month.
Yeah, looking forward to it. The cool thing about the summer concert series, you mentioned the fact that it's free. These bands are local and regional bands, and we get to that point of the summer where, you know, you kind of get through like River Festival time, you get through the Wichita Open, and then it's kind of like the dog days of summer. You've got 4th of July, and then it gets, you know, kind of hot out there, and there's a lot of other things, you know, going on. But on a Friday night, what else are you going to do than go enjoy some free live music at the Capitol Federal Amphitheater and then at Nafsker Park? So we're excited to be a part of it again, and some really good bands playing this year.
Yeah, it's anytime you can get outside this weekend and the weather, if it told you anything, it's that it's get outside season, right? Man, I like, you want to talk about, is that picture perfect weather? It's not picture perfect for every activity. I get that. Like, it's not quite warm enough for the pool, maybe, but it's not far off. Like, it was hot.
Yeah,
it felt hot.
You couldn't get more of a perfect weather weekend than what we had a couple of days ago and yesterday. Like, it was so freaking nice. It's funny because we went out to Crestview Country Club, great supporter of the program, went out there yesterday for the Mother's Day brunch, which, by the way, the food was phenomenal. It was so good. Awesome, it was so good. But it was funny because, like, there were some people that were out on the golf course, but it was not like your typical traditional Sunday, like, busyness out on the golf course because it was Mother's Day. And I'm like, man, like, there are a lot of guys like me that are looking out the window right now, and they're just like wishing they could be out playing golf.
I'm glad to hear that, bro. This is I think it's the first Mother's Day brunch we've missed in maybe 3 or 4 years. Can't remember how many of those we've been. It's always a great one. I'm glad to hear that it was great. Yeah. I looked at that yesterday. I'm like, man, how could I weasel my way into some golf, this weekend? How could I do that? It just wasn't working out in my head.
You got to play on Friday though. So you were fortunate in that regard.
And that was fun. That was a great event. IRLC in support, Independent Resource Living Center. Like, it was a great event. They had a lot of fun. We did okay. The best thing that happened to us for that event that was that par was your friend. So I think I did get an albatross by myself. So they moved us in. There was one of the gimmick holes. It was like from 150 out on a par five. Hit a great shot from 150 and sunk the putt myself. So it was a solo albatross as my contribution.
From 150 in, pretty, though. Like, that, let's put a little caveat on there. 150 in.
That's right.
It was one of the holes,
but
that
still,
they pushed.
It was a good shot, and it was a good putt. We had a lot of fun, though. So we were playing with some great people. Brandon Zinner was there. You know, listeners will know Brandon. And then a couple other people that are, one of whom is a great friend of ours. And they, two women, and they talked us into, because we came pretty clear, like, after the first two holes. I was like, all right, we're not going to win this thing. Like, par's our friend. We'll have a fine score, but we're not winning this tournament. They talked us into, have you ever played golf barefoot?
I've not, no.
Grounding. I've heard people do this, and they play, she and a friend play all the time. They always play barefoot. It's grounding. You're supposed to, like, connect you with their, but I'll tell, like, by, you know, there were, we were far enough into it. We're like, all right, fine, whatever. We'll play barefoot with you guys. It was kind of nice. And, like, the nice part was, like, you never get to walk on grass that nice barefoot, right? Like, you never feel, and it was all right. It was decent. Like, I could do it again. So we were the crew that was out there barefoot, just having a good time. It was a great tournament.
Yeah, I hope you clipped your toenails before you had to take your shoes off in front of everybody.
There was some conversation. You know, a lot of guys have gross feet, and I was like, I'm good. I'm clear. I don't have gross feet yet. They're fine. I got a little hair on the toes, you know, like most, but other than that, I have normal feet. Like, I can wear sandals and not be worried about it. But it was fine. That course is so fun. Sand Creek is so cool. Like, what a little gem out there in Newton. It's a tough course though, man. You better hit the fairways. It's one of those courses. If you don't hit the fairway, you might not find your ball in the first cut of rough. Like, you better keep it in play. But it was a great time. Love it. Hope everybody's able to enjoy the golf. It's a great golf weekend, great weekend to get out there and catch a sunburn. It's a hot week here. Like, not now, it's not just going to be nice. It's going to be kind of hot.
I saw on Wednesday the high is what, like 93, 94, something like that. I think it's just a one day thing, but
just keeps going up. Let's check our new, by the way, weather partner upcoming, Storm Team 12. Let's check the old weather app here and see what that high is creeping up to, because it has been going up. 93 is what I saw last night as well. Today, I know, well, of course, today we're getting a high, in the mid-70s? Sorry.
82 is the high today is what I see.
82. My kids, I was just getting them on the bus, and they're like, oh, you know, do I need to bring a jacket? And I'm like, well, no. Like, you're going to be hot. Remember what it was like yesterday? It's going to be worse today. Like, it's not going to be good. I forgot my phone, so I don't have my Storm Team 12 app. I left it upstairs when I got the kids on the bus. but it will be, yes, I believe it's going to go into the 90s. I thought about that yesterday as it's like, I don't know, 11 a.m. and I'm at a soccer game and it's 72-73 degrees and we're legit. Everyone's like, God, it's hot. Like we're dumping water on the kids' heads. What is 95 going to feel like? And when, especially when it gets humid, how's it going to feel when it's triple digits? I just pulled it up online, by the way. Yes, 93.
Well, and that's the thing, too. So, like, you know, this weekend was perfect weather-wise for Mother's Day. By the time we get to Father's Day, and we get, it's going to be 102 degrees. It's going to feel like 110. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I'll still go out and play golf and, you know, get away for a while. But the moms get the great weather on Mother's Day. It gets hot by the time our day kind of rolls around.
Well, it'll be an interesting exercise, of course, because the Wichita Open moves this year, a week later. And, like, you could set your calendar to, oh, when is it going to start to get really hot? It'll be when the Wichita Open comes.
The way it always
just
is.
Happens every year.
Yeah, the week of the Wichita Open is the first week that it gets really hot.
It'll rain right before, so it can get nice and steamy, and then that's when we turn to the really hot weather. So now it's a week later. So maybe the weather will follow the Open and not Father's Day.
I mean,
we'll get a little relief on
Father's I know the Masters has the claim to the phrase a tradition unlike any other, but I think in our neck of the woods, a tradition unlike any other is that, you know, when the Wichita Open rolls around, it is going to be so freaking hot.
It will rain during Riverfest and during the fair, right? And it will get blistering hot when we get to the Wichita Open. You can just count on it. And that's, we'll be out there. We're going to, I don't know if I've told you this, we're going to be live out there. And right after we're live, we'll be doing some HTO out there for the first time, which is going to be, I think, a pretty massive undertaking. Honestly, I'm not sure we're ready to be out there sweating like that. But we're going to give it a whirl. So you can come say hi to us at either on the air, and we're out there for the radio, or as we flip over. We got to figure out, too. We got to get Brandon and TJ. I know they're huge golf guys, and they'll be out there for K-Witch. We got to get them involved, too. It's going to be a fun week. It'll be a blast. That schedule, by the way, totally screwed up a huge family trip I had, like back home, family reunion. On the calendar, everything booked, and I totally forgot the Open was a week later. We were kicking it around the office, and I'm like, wait, what? And it just like, it was like, yeah, it totally, totally bombed a huge family event. And I'm like,
I really like the fact that it's moving a week. And the reason, well, I mean, I'm a big golf fan. I like watching golf on TV.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the last time I've been able to lock into the US Open, because it's always opposite of the Wichita Open. And you've got Father's Day weekend and all that. Like, that's the one major that out of the four, I usually don't pay super close attention to because we're so busy here locally with the Wichita Open. But now that it's shifted a week, US Open is the week before, Father's Day weekend, all of that, be able to lock in. And then the next week is the Wichita Open. And I really like that change.
I'm fascinated to see what it does to attendance. I think attendance will go up. The only thing is, and maybe we're doing a service to the community right now by reminding everybody that the Wichita Open is a week later this year.
It because is not Father's Day weekend.
As I've told that story about how I totally screwed up the family trip, they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, yeah, it's a week later this year. And they're like, that's not what I have in my calendar. I'm like, I get it. We all set our calendars to Father's Day weekend. I'm telling you, it's not Father's Day weekend this year. So you need to make an adjustment. So as we're going to have live shows out there, hey, everybody. The Wichita Open is not Father's Day weekend. It is not a weekend like that. Is not this year. It is a week later than that. So I'm curious to see what that does. But yeah, even I don't know. I think it helps them both ways, because like Father's Day, I'm just trying to think of the vibe out there in all the years. I think a lot of people probably went out for that and walked it, right? But as far as like all the festivities, I'm not sure that was whatever anybody ever had on their like Father's Day radar.
Well, and
so
for me,
be interesting.
I mean, you know, again, I'm a golf fan, and I would be out there Thursday, Friday, usually on Saturday to enjoy and watch. By the time Sunday rolled around, I'm like, you know what? I'm probably not going to go out again for the final round. Like I might want to go play golf myself, or stay at home and lay on the couch and watch baseball, or, you know, whatever. As opposed to going out for a fourth day. So, I mean, that may change things this year for me. I may want to go out to the final round of the Wichita Open. knowing that it's not going to land on Father's Day.
I'm the same way. I usually make it to 2 days of the four, and it's not usually Sunday for that reason. And so that could change. I could be totally, well, I'll be out there this year because we're doing tea, but it'll be, that will be an interesting, I don't know what it'll do. I don't know if, because it's such a tradition, it'll make things crazy, or if it'll do, I think it's going to add to it. Of course, attendance is never an issue at the Wichita Open. It is the event of the tour. I mean, every year it is. Every year. Those guys talk about it. We always talk about it. It's incredible. They do a great job. Love what they do. Love that we're going to be out there. That's always a lot of fun. It was last year anyway. So we're looking forward to it. I joked about the Truist Open earlier. I have not been locked in at all. I know that Byron Nelson is always a fun event, and Scheffler, but Scheffler had it by so much. Has there been anything on tour?
Our
friends out at Crestview that give us a hard time every time we see him drink a beer at the bar, but we don't talk enough golf. We're going to hate this.
I mean, we're leading into this week a major championship. The PGA Championship is this week. It starts on Thursday at Quail Hollow, and so that's going to be big. And there are a lot of storylines, you know, regarding this major championship. You know, now that Rory's got the monkey off of his back with the Masters win, and he's kind of in top form, can he kind of let loose and get it done for a second straight major? Justin Thomas won a tournament a couple of weeks ago, the RBC Heritage. Can he turn that into a major championship win? There's a lot of really cool storylines going into the PGA Championship this week.
And I assume our guys, I haven't checked the, do we have Stevens and Hadwin?
Hadwin, yes. I haven't looked. I would imagine Stevens, yes. But I'll have to confirm that.
I always look for Gary Woodland. Such a great story coming back from his, his brain surgery. And I always watch Ryan Palmer, as long as those guys are all in there, I love majors. I do love majors. I didn't even realize it was PGA Championship this weekend. But I do love majors.
Yeah, so maybe you've got both of those guys, Stevens and Hadwin, in the field. Right. And then, Gary Woodland also in the field as well. So all three of those guys in the field.
There you go. There's all your Kansas connections. We'll keep an eye on that. We'll root for our locals like crazy. That always makes golf more entertaining for me. I know a lot of people can watch it regardless. I either need the people that I have some connection to or star power. Like I star power is okay too. Like if it's, you know, Scheffler and Morikawa and whatever, like I'll be on board with that too. I need to see. You know, my son is like, we can't watch enough sports right now. Like his sports bone has hit in the last 6-8 months. I wonder if he'd be into watching golf. I should put that on and see, because he'll watch anything. He doesn't care.
I was really confused, by the way, about the Truist Championship, because I'm like, I've never even heard of this before. And it was at a club where it was like the Philadelphia Cricket Club. I'm like, what is this? What are we doing? Turns out I did a little bit of research because I was really confused. It used to be called the Wells Fargo Championship, which I'm totally familiar with the Wells Fargo. New title sponsor, so they changed the name. Typically, the Wells Fargo, now the Truist, is held at Quail Hollow. But because the PGA Championship is at Quail Hollow this week, they moved it to another location, which is in Philadelphia. So this year you've got a new name and a new location for this tournament that formerly was the Wells Fargo, always at Quail Hollow. Now the players will get to play Quail Hollow this week in the PGA Championship.
All right. I don't know anything about Quail Hollow, but it sounds cool.
Oh, it's a fun course. North Carolina, yeah. I believe. It's one of the more, I think, signature courses on tour. I mean, you always have Sawgrass, and you've got Augusta, and you've got Pebble Beach, and you know, Quail Hollow is up there, and the fact that it's, you know, they're going to hold a major championship there tells you that it's pretty high quality.
Yeah, have you ever played golf in the Carolinas?
I have not. I would love to play golf in the Carolinas.
It's great. It's great. Squirrels are gray. Don't let them throw you off, but it's great. I saw a little gray squirrels. What the hell is that? Squirrel. Oh, they're different colors here. I didn't know that. I didn't know that happened. But yeah, no, it's the trees are incredible, and they're so tall and huge. It's great. I've been able to play out there a couple times, but yeah, we'll watch that. I'll watch this PGA Championship, and we'll get into it. All right. Let's give away one more thing here, and it's for some Wind Surge tickets. Saturday is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Night at Equity Bank Park. You got a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Wind Surge take on the Travelers of Arkansas. Just text the keyword towel, all right? Towel, T-O-W-E-L, for those spelling challenged out there, T-O-W-E-L, to the short code 20357 for your chance to win. One entry per day, standard message and data rates apply. Again, it's Towel, 20357, Surge Baseball this weekend. It's a 4:05 first pitch, and the first 2,000 fans, this will make sense, receive a commemorative Wind Surge towel. That's why that's the keyword. For more info, you can go to kfhradio.com. Contest ends at noon on Friday. Good luck, everybody. I think that covers our giveaways here today, Tommy. So we've had a couple of concerts. We've had some Wind Surge tickets. We've had some HTO. We're feeling generous this week, and we love it. We love giving everybody the opportunity to win those. Remember, the texting contest, if you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, are good for a while. We already did our call-in contest. We'll do this again tomorrow. We have more chances to win again tomorrow. So stay tuned for your opportunity there, or tune in if you're just getting us tuned in here on 97.5 Over the Air. And we've got a big week. It's always a big week when your Major League Baseball team is thick in the middle of it and looks like it's going to be good. And the Royals are both of those things. And now they continue a stretch of games where the competition's going to step up from where they were. They had the 16 out of 18 game stretch that has totally turned the slow start of the season upside down, and now things are looking good. But now they get a much tougher stretch on the schedule, the first three of which here, Tommy, come on the road. And that'll come in Houston this weekend. They are going to face good pitching, most likely, at least in these first two games. And so here we go. For the offense, it'll be, you know, it's a hitter-friendly park down there in Houston. You kind of get after it that way a little bit, but you're going to go up against the Astros here, and the Astros are not this year what they once were. Fully understand that. But you got Framber Valdez in the second game tonight. Tomorrow night. You better be ready to bring it against the Astros. That'll be good. The first three games, actually all three of these games, are evening starts. They will get a day off on Thursday, which will be their first in quite a while, actually. So you come into this series against the Astros, and you better be ready to bring it. You better be ready to bring it, because they'll get you still. They're not as good. I think they had to put one of their best hitters on the IL, but they can still pitch a little bit, and they're going to pitch in this series. And we will, we'll see how this offense can fare. We talked about it. It was not a good weekend for the Royals offense. It hasn't been a good season, quite frankly, in totality for the Royals offense. And now they've got to put it together. I don't know how much is there. We talked about this in the first hour. What can be done right now while they figure out long-term solutions to this challenge for the offense? I mean, if we're stacking it up just against the rest of the league, they're only better than the White Sox, which is nothing you would want to be proud of, and the Rangers, who have been epically bad offensively to start the year, even worse than the Royals. That's it. That's it. As great as the pitching's been, they're going to have to score some runs, at least at a higher clip than they've been able to do. Detroit and Cleveland are both losers of their last series, too, so that's helped. But you come into this stretch here now, Tommy, with the Astros, who are, you know, they have gotten hot, right? A little bit. I say hot. Hot's probably not the right term. They're above 500, though, right? Like, that's a team that's quality. And then you're going to get the Cardinals, a team that is getting hot, who's won 8 games in a row, by the way, who has climbed up over 500. And then you just keep the train rolling. Giants, Twins, Reds. Those are teams that are all going to contend this year. The Giants are very good, by the way. This is a stretch that you need to get a hold of quickly if you're the Royals, and they'll face good pitching here right off the top against the Astros in the next two games.
Yeah, it goes back to what we talked about at the very top of the show. I mean, just trying to find ways to generate, you know, maybe not even necessarily offense, but generate putting yourself in better positions. Because I don't think that magically they're just going to like start to hit more. But if you can be more clutch, if you can have situations where, you know, basically the Royals are able to move more runners into scoring position. If you can, you have to play nearly flawless baseball outside of your offensive output if you want to have a good chance to win games against good teams. You can't commit errors out in the field. You've got to be able to, not let your good pitching go to waste. You've got to make sure that you are not making mental mistakes on the base paths. All these different things, it's going to make it, it basically magnifies all other aspects of your game if you're not hitting, because the margin to make mistakes is that much smaller.
That's a great point. And like, if your pitching is great, you don't want them to feel like they can't ever allow a run, right? Like, you can't put that kind of pressure on your pitching in May. Like, you have to help them out some, and they're just not doing it. And it is what it is. If Salvi has lost home run power, right? Bobby Witt Jr. is out of his mind. He's not hitting for power right now. Getting on the road will probably help that for Bobby. Vinny's not doing anything in the power category. Not that he's a true power hitter, but he's a run producer typically. Like, it's going to take creativity. We talked about maybe getting aggressive on the base path. The Royals are already aggressive out there, but I don't know what else you do, right? You can't get out there to the point where you're so aggressive you're making mistakes on the base paths, because that can hurt you even worse if you give them easy outs. I don't know that it feels. Here's what I really wonder inside that locker room. For a lot of fans, if you want a fun exercise on overreactions, go search like Royals offense on Twitter. If you want to see what people I wonder how much pressure. Desperation is not the right word, because it's not going to be there. Nobody's desperate right now, but I wonder how much pressure this offense feels and what could be the thing that releases that pressure, that lets them just kind of go chill out and do what they do. I think getting into a hitter friendly ballpark and just like unloading a little bit could do it. Could certainly help. But I also think we've got enough games under the belt now where just hoping that that's going to happen is not the right thing to do anymore. Just saying, they'll probably start to hit at some point. I mean, we're getting far enough into this season where we're like, we can count on trends, I think. Just like we can count on the trend that their pitching's going to be great. 42 games or 43 games, whatever we are into the season, we can also probably count on this is not going to be an offensive juggernaut as it's currently constructed. So that's where we get into the old, what can they do? I think mixing up the lineup's the next best thing, like the next thing to try. And they tried a little bit of that over the weekend against the Red Sox. Didn't work yet, but over time, I think it could help. But I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't think they do either.
No, I don't think they do. I mean, other than just continuing to lean on their pitching. And again, I think that you can trace back the loss of the series over the weekend to the Red Sox to two different things. Obviously, you're not going to win when you only score a handful of runs in three games combined. That's not going to work for you. That's number one. But number two, you had your two top guys in the rotation that didn't really effectively get the job done. I know Lugo overall had a pretty decent outing, but it wasn't elite. And unfortunately, with the lack of production offensively for the Royals, you have to have elite pitching game in and game out. Cole Reagans didn't look particularly good. He had a bad inning that sort of the floodgates then opened, and then all hell broke loose and the Red Sox bats came alive. So I think that you can sort of push that off as an outlier a little bit, but still you would have liked to think that between Reagans and Lugo, at least one of those guys could have gotten a win at the very top of your rotation. And then you're talking about the Royals winning the series as opposed to losing the three game set. So I think that those two things you have to keep in mind as well. But yeah, for sure. Like you've got to try to figure out other ways to get the job done. And as we've talked about before, it's no secret. It's going to come down to the way that these pitchers are able to get the job done, because you've got to compensate somehow for the lack of power and the lack of offense. It's going to have to come on the backs of your rotation.
Yeah, it's that's okay. Like, I think they're equipped to handle that. I think they're big boys and they can handle that pressure. but you don't want to overdo it, right? I don't want to look at it and say Seth Lugo going six and giving up one big hit is not good, like as a bad start. And I don't think that's what anybody's saying, but like sometimes that's got to be good enough. Like sometimes you got to bail them out too. And you got to do them a favor in return when they allow you to only score a run or two runs and get a win because they were so lights out. Like you got to help them out too. I don't, you know, when this season started last year, the Royals were so streaky. I think one of the big questions for me right now is there still a chance this is a streaky offense and they catch fire? We're 42 games into the season, and at no point this year has the offense been consistently good. Like at no point have they gone through a stretch of five or six games even where they've been scoring a bunch of runs. I don't know that it's going to be a streaky offense this year. I think, Tommy, it's probably just, again, this is all is currently constructed and that'll change. I just don't think they're a very good offense. And we're just going to have to readjust that thinking. At least I will, because I keep waiting for like, all right, here comes that hot streak offensively. I know they won 16 out of 18 games. Obviously, the team overall did, but the offense particularly is what I'm talking about here. I don't know that that's going to happen. And I mean, maybe it still will. But that I feel like that's probably not the way to think about it if you're trying to look at the long-term prospects of this particular 2025 Royals team.
I think you're right. I mean, you know, perspective is important, and it's really easy when you've got two games back-to-back on Saturday and Sunday where they didn't hit and they weren't able to get the job done, you know, to start to I don't want to say panic, but to start to be concerned a little bit overall. But remember, in their last 20 games, they're 16-4, right? So you take the good with the bad. You're going into a series now with an Astros team that has improved from the last time these two teams faced each other. And then from there, you know, you're going to take on a Cardinals team back at home for a short weekend series. And the Cardinals are playing really good baseball right now. So you've got to be ready for that. And then you're back on the road again. So it doesn't get any easier for sure for the Royals. That 16-4 stretch over your last 20 games, that's great, but that's now in the past. And so how do you turn the page? How do you turn the corner, you know, and try to, you know, try to compensate for what has been, yeah, a pretty glaring lack of offense?
I think two things. I think you almost like we have these two things. Like the team is going to be fine, right? The team is going to be good. They're not, I'm not worried particularly about that. Then we talk about the offense only, and that's not good. And I don't know that it's going to get much better. If they're going to reach their ultimate goals this year, it's going to have to be better. It has to be. It's not good enough to do what they want to do this year right now. I mean, it's just not. And I don't know when it's going to, like, I think it's probably time to say, okay, we're not just like, it's not just going to come magically. I mean, maybe it will. That would be awesome. But we're 40 games into this, and at no point this year have they been good consistently offensively. No point. What worries me, if there's the bigger worry or anything, it's that what happened earlier in the season when they, you know, when they did play some better offenses that were scoring, you know, God forbid the opposition scores four runs in a game. That can't feel insurmountable like it does right now. Hell, Tommy, three runs yesterday. You said it. I totally agree. It's the fifth inning or whatever it was, and they're down 3-1, and you're like, they're not going to score enough runs to win this game. That's crazy. But that's what it is right now. That's the challenge, right?
I will say, though, that yes, they're not a team that's built to come from behind. If they can get out to a lead early, that's when you start to feel comfortable. That's the formula for success. Even if the team's not hitting, that's the formula for success.
Yeah, and that's why I think there are kind of two things. I think as far as them winning games and being like, they're going to be fine, but they got to get this other thing fixed if they want to win a World Series or win playoff series or do those kinds of things. That's what gives them this long runway to figure out. And that's what makes, you know, we always talk about panic, but that's what makes it like not high on the panic. It doesn't mean they don't need to figure it out, though. It doesn't mean it's not frustrating. I know fans are frustrated with it. They'll get it done. That'll do it for Sports Daily for us on a Monday. Coming up tonight here on KFH, you've got Brian Green Coach's Show for Wichita State Baseball. That's at 6 o'clock. And with the Royals now in the Central Time Zone down there in Texas, they'll play 7:10 games. So you'll get the 7 o'clock pregame coverage right after the Brian Green Show here on KFH. So we'll see if they can get it done. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about it and some NBA playoffs and everything else.
It'll be a lot of fun. Looking forward to getting into it.
All right. We'll see everybody tomorrow. For Max, for Tommy, good luck to everybody in our contest. We'll see you tomorrow.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.